Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from the first part of today's gospel. And they went into Capernaum immediately on the Sabbath. He entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, I think when I was younger, like a lot of younger people and older people for that matter, I basically defined the reality of the good life and the bad life on stuff, okay? The stuff I didn't have and the stuff other people did have. And I had four subcategories as a kid growing up in the 70s. Number one, breakfast cereal. Number two, bike. Number three, jeans. Number four, shoes. Whenever I'd go over a sleepover, they always had Captain Crunch, right? Count Chocula, you know, at our house, it was shredded wheat. You know, it was like a bale of hay in the bowl, and once it got wet, it was like eating hair. You know, just disgusting. Ugh, I don't know if they even make that anymore. So that was one thing. I know this isn't a good life. This is not meant to be. Bike, all my friends rode Schwinn's. I rode a used Huffy. Jeans, all my friends had Levi's. If I was lucky, I got to wear Wranglers, but usually it was Tough Skins, the incredibly cheap knockoff version from Sears. They don't make them anymore. And for shoes, all my friends had Nikes. I mean, white with that, you know, red swoosh. And me, I had knockoff shoes from like Zayer Shop or City. They weren't Nikes. They were like me or something like that. Just a complete fraud, you know. In fact, I don't even think they were made of leather. I think they were plastic because they would crack, you know. So here, all these horrible things, and I realized I didn't have the good life. Everybody else did have the good life because they had the stuff and I didn't. Now, of course, with enough complaining and belly aching, my parents got me these things. And so there was a day that I woke up and put on my Levi's and my Nikes and went downstairs and had a bowl of Captain Crunch and hopped on my Schwinn for a day of riding. Shockingly, that wasn't satisfying. A similar lesson is going to be learned by these people in the synagogue, one of the first times Jesus preaches at the beginning of his ministry. These people are going to see that what they consider to be not just important, but the most important, is wrong. Jesus teaches, it says that they were amazed at his teaching. Not because he was so eloquent, not because he spoke louder or faster or made more sense than everybody else. It says that they were amazed because he taught with authority. Now what that means is the scribes and the Pharisees and those who usually taught in the synagogue on a Saturday morning, they usually taught many different things, but it was always based on the authority of the law and the tradition of the elders. When Jesus preaches, he bases the authority on himself. Now, we don't hear Jesus' sermon here. We don't have the words here, but we can kind of glean what he says from looking at other sermons. You look at the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says to these people, he goes, "You've heard it said," in other words of saying, the scribes and the tradition of the elders say, that you shall not kill. But then Jesus says, "But I say, even if you're angry at someone, you've broken that commandment." So really what Jesus is doing there is he's saying at the Sermon on the Mount, look, I'm not going to tell you what the traditions and the elders have to say about this law. I'm telling you what the law really means. Now the problem that these people had as they listened to Jesus, and the word for amazement doesn't just mean, you know, happy amazement, but it also means shock, is that what they had put as the highest good was the wrong thing. The highest good for them was the law and the tradition of the elders. And because they placed it so high, it became an idol to them. And in fact, they became possessed by it. Right? The law was meant to serve them. They ended up serving the law. And Jesus describes this generation of people. He says they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're like people who are burdened with a burden they cannot remove. Now, how does this relate to our time and our place? Obviously, in our society, the ultimate good as people see it, or at least the majority of people see it, is not the law of Moses and the tradition of the elders. Most people don't even know what I would be talking about if I were to mention those things. But in our society, we have lots of idols on our own. And I really think the biggest one for all of us is stuff. It's the same thing as when I was a kid. It's just stuff. Now, 2,000 years ago, stuff wasn't their idol because almost no one had any stuff and no one expected to get any stuff. But today, I mean, we're experts in stuff. We know how to make stuff. We know how to use stuff. We know how to hoard stuff. Of course, you look at our society and it seems to be fragmenting all the time. People aren't coming closer. They're drawing away from each other. You got teen suicide is just skyrocketing. People who should never think of killing themselves are hopeless and feel despair. And that makes sense because hopelessness is not having love and not having the good. And despair is the inability to recognize the good. And by the way, this is all at the time where we have never had more stuff in the history of the world. And it's never been more of a time because we have more stuff than anybody's ever had in this world. I'll show you how insidious this can be. Let's just take one example of something that everybody has to agree is good. Helping out poor people. Okay, that's good. I mean, we all know it's good. Jesus tells us it's good. But if we make it the good instead of a good, now we run into trouble. Because again, what do we think? Well, it's all about stuff. See? Poor people won't be poor as long as they have stuff, like us. And then once everybody's got stuff, everybody's happy. Really? I mean, how many stories do we have to see about, you know, somebody, a very poor person, all of a sudden winning the lottery? Usually doesn't turn out that well, does it? Because it doesn't solve any problems to have more stuff. It complicates things even more. When Jesus walked into that synagogue 2,000 years ago, he opened the eyes of these people to see, look, the law and the tradition of the elders, certainly they're good. I mean, the law comes from God. It's good. The tradition of the elders are very helpful. It's good, but it's not the good. He opens their eyes to see the truth of what really is good. And then he sets them free, even as he sets free this man who was possessed by a demon. From that moment on, the demon had no control over this man, and Jesus is reaching out to these people and saying, I don't want any of these things, good as they may be, to take possession of you. The only good above all others is Jesus Christ, him crucified and risen from the dead. And I pray that we would respond to this Jesus Christ with the truth of what we see and with the hope of what we know. That we would do what these people did 2,000 years ago. Because after this amazing worship service in the synagogue that morning, everybody, not just in the town, but in the entire area, came to Peter's home so they could see Jesus, so that they could hear him, so that they could touch him, so they could be healed by him. We've been given that same faith. There's lots of good things in our lives, things that we should focus on, things we should do to serve others and to serve God. But there's only one good, and that's Jesus Christ himself. That's it. It's that simple. And knowing that and set free in that, we are able to make that same journey these people made on a daily basis. And we go to Jesus so that he can love us, so that he can forgive us our sins, so that he can heal us. In Jesus' name, amen.